So this is a great panel discussion that we kind of had in New York.
We recorded it in a blockchain. It's somewhere.
That's right.
There's an event.
UCLA Medical has this.
That's right.
You can't have access.
We've identified all SASLA
accidents. Private blockchain.
Okay. So we're going to have some fun up here and talk about a very interesting subject that was just sown so perfectly. The seed was sown so perfectly by Steve. But first, let's do some introductions. Ladies first. Alana, would please introduce yourself?
Sure. Alana Gombert. I'm currently president of Gombert Consulting. Although they soon to be announced a new role for me, but not yet. I used to run the IEB Tech Lab. What that means is I ran advertising standards. So all of the rules surrounding the ads, well, yeah, it's my fault. So I'm sorry. In digital only. So that's me.
Excellent.
Eric Iverson, I'm the CIO at CAA, previously at Sony Pictures. I've had both those two experiences. And you know, the previous conversation was really interesting with Steve up here. I thought that was great. I learned something. Which was great, and we were going through, and I found out one of my head of my operations group, Rob Crumwitty out there, is actually a Bitcoin miner. That was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. And I've been wondering all this time why my AWS bills have been going up. So I don't know. I mean, just, I didn't put any of those two things together, but anyway, just amazing things you learn here.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Exactly. Eric Diehl.
Okay, Eric. I'm working for Sony Pictures. 25 years of security behind me, especially on DRM content protection. And from there, of course, blockchain was interesting. I said, okay, it's about crypto, it's about these kind of things, about hackers. I love the topics. Oh, by the way, on the answer, there is only one miner. I've done doubt, you know, since now the browsers are starting to use Hivecoin, you may be mining without knowing it. So if you are on a browser and you see your CPU running at 100%, most probably you are mining for somebody.
Yeah. Oh, it's actually probably Eric.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I've known him for a long time.
Yeah. You're mining for Eric.
Yes. I'm keeping my bag and laptop very far away from you today.
Or your head of ops. I mean, either way.
Okay, so this also piece of it is very particular in terms of the constituency of the panel, because Alana's on the advertising side. Eric, now you're on the talent side. Iverson, on the talent side, but also considerable history is in television. And then also, one of the primary applications that gets discussed is security. Oh, I can securely deliver things and not have to worry about it. We're not going to do point-counterpoint. There will be no Eric, you ignorant slut. Let's first talk about what Steve just presented, because, you know, first of all, how many people think they understand blockchain? Right? Ooh. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. So, yeah, what? 10-15% maybe? How many people are currently engaged in any Bitcoining or blockchain realities? Ooh, even smaller? 1%? 3%? Other than nefarious activities on the Bitcoin mining side. I think it's important first to get your takeaways in terms of the education, because we really do need to set a stage around this technology. There's so much confusion, and it's easy to be like, oh, it's going to save the world, or oh, it's the end of the world on this one. But finding that happy medium. So in terms of Steve's presentation, what were the key takeaways? You said you learned something, Eric, so I'm going to pick on you first, because for you to learn something, you're a smart guy. But we're always learning. So what did you learn?
Besides Rob? I think one of the things I at least have been thinking about, and Steve talked a little bit, he had the picture up there where the Hollywood hustle.
Yes.
And we'll probably talk about a lot of pieces of that ecosystem. But I think as we talk today, what I might say is that there's two things. There's a supply chain, and then there's B2B and B2C. And I think if you look at the different implementations we'll be dealing with, they're probably going to fall kind of like you could split up the supply chain and the B2B and the B2C as we go through there. And Steve had some of that up there on the chart. So without hogging the mic here for a little while.
No, that makes sense. I, you know, from the advertising perspective, we do have a little bit of a fraud problem. Maybe you've heard. And so supply chain for us is forefronts and how we fix each hop and each node in the transaction. I think this year and next year, all of us are really focused on how to fix that. And blockchain is an interesting solution. It's not a cure-all. It's not the be-all, end-all. But there's implementations and there's companies now that are working Ethereum is mentioned in the presentation, smart contracts, but there are other companies working on other types of smart contracts that are more enterprise. So we're looking at all of these new companies and all these new solutions and figuring out which ones will help with a transaction-heavy environment like advertising is, especially in digital.
For me, the most important part, and I think that's what we have to educate further people about, is the difference between permissionless and permissioned blockchain. Everybody thinks about Ethereum or Bitcoin, which are what we call permissionless. Permissionless means just that anybody participate to defining the consensus. That means everybody is part of the decision if this block is valid or not. And the majority of everybody decide what comes out. And in a permissioned one, which is decentralized also, it's a set of authorities which are deciding which consensus is applied. But it's still decentralized, so you have still the advantage of decentralization, but it's a set of trust authorities which will decide where it is. And the master word inside all that is about consensus. You decide, because everybody has a blockchain, but you must be quite sure that the blockchain from Alice exactly the same than Bob and from Charlie, and that's done by consensus. And the difference between permissionless and permissioned is in the way that the consensus is built. And today you have a lot of, you have many different consensus way. But really, what is very important when you are going in that is decide if you go to permissionless or permission.
Yeah, I agree. And kind of leading off to what I was starting with, I think, and you could correct me if you disagree, but I kind of feel like for this group, as we think through as an industry the problem, I think the B2C, I find more kind of in the permissionless, and the for those of us in B2B work, we'll probably be mostly falling into permission type of blockchain implementations. And I think it's actually the permissionless one is the one that gets talked about all the time because of Bitcoin. And I think that's maybe scared a lot of people away, but actually if you get into the permission Bitcoin, I think there's a lot of really interesting opportunities. I think when you start going back to the, we start traversing a little bit of our kind of value chain for media and entertainment. But I think that there's a lot of, like you talked about, like the very discrete transactions that happen within trading partners with inside the industry become really good use cases for that. And I think that, you know, that'll probably be where we want to start instead of like the really big things. I think it's some of the challenges we get, you know, think, oh, great, it's going to like the whole thing will be one gigantic blockchain. Yeah. The block will be the size of this building, right?
Yeah.
You
know? And
that's probably unlikely to be the case because that's a hard problem to solve. But the discrete transactions probably are a good place to start.
Sure. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned it a little bit. Because we have trusted partners that we work with quite often on numerous levels and numerous levels of trust. I trust you, but it's also something I've heard quite often in this town. But you got to prove it. I mean, where do you see the real rubber kind of hitting the road in terms of people wrapping their heads around it and saying, oh, this little piece works for me. Without, you know, again, I totally 100% agree with the boil the ocean thing. If we continue to boil the ocean around blockchain, it will take decades. But if you approach it very practically and you say, all right, what's one thing I can do?
Can I use a simple example?
Sure.
So how many people in this room are in TV distribution or in and around it or have friends? How about friends of TV people in distribution?
Friends of TV distributors?
Okay, there we go. Right,
it's
okay,
LA.
So let's just do like everybody if you're in TV distribution has this workflow, which is you're going to eventually deliver your asset to the person that's the licensee,
right?
The licensor is going to send it to the licensee. If you're a licensee, you're getting it from the licensor, right? How many people are here familiar with the fun of revenue recognition, right? So when does revenue recognition happen? Revenue recognition happens when the affirmation of the actual asset being delivered to the licensee, right?
Yes.
That's exactly when it happens, right?
Yes.
And even in just the pain in the butt of the work doing that operationally, you know, if you looked at companies like Aspera Insignia, which is actually, they've been at the business for a long time saying,
absolutely.
You know, I sent it to you, no I didn't, but then they say, yes, we verify that we actually sent it to you and you got it. So if you think about it, that's actually a workflow that's actually gotten pretty close to a contract, but if you tied those two things together, that's actually maybe an easy first step because the trading partner population isn't super huge.
Right.
It's a lot of us in this room with each other. It's something that we all have to verify exactly what happened at that exact moment in time. And we're exchanging a fairly high-valued asset, well, hopefully we hope it's a very high value yes. asset. I think like that might be like one just to you know wrap our minds around it a little bit, like a good example.
To add to that, I spoke at MIT Media Lab a couple of months ago about blockchain. It's the new shiny. And all the banks were in the room. And when banks are in a room in a technology conference, you know something's up, right? Because banks don't really move that fast. No offense to bankers in the room or any from the bank. What they're doing is they're using private blockchains. So in terms of access, it's all internal, and it's all for their own personal use to start. They're learning, but they're all learning at a very rapid pace. They're actually implementing and creating innovation on the blockchain and on the blockchain computation, which is huge. It's really interesting to see the banks be the ones to come out at the forefront of a new technology. So to start, at least in my world, the private blockchains are the easiest. Implement your company, start testing, look at it. That's the simple way to learn and make and know if it's right for you or not.
I couldn't agree more. Eric, you want to take a shot?
For me, every transaction which is very basic and which can be verified easily is interesting. And I think the blockchain is interesting to record. You know, it's a perfect log. And you have a time, so you evaluation. So if you're able to timestamp something, if you're able, for instance, the Netherlands or Honduras are using starting that to use that for laundry registry. That's very simple. And then transaction from one place to the other. From one person to the other, it's easy, you record that. But of course, it will not be a permissionless because you don't expect Joe Sixpack to decide if I own this land. You expect somebody else to do that on the authority. But this kind of basic transaction may be interesting.
Yeah, maybe using some of the, and I wholeheartedly agree with your point. I think we as an industry, my suggestion would be that we focus kind of on the smaller permission-based, simple stuff. Maybe other ones that might be pretty obvious in our, well, I don't know, or would be in our industry. But if you think of like very discrete transactions, another that would be is, you know, studios book shows into movie theaters. You know, that's a relatively clear, the yep. rules for that are very, very, very clear and straightforward, right?
Sure.
So that to me feels like something between that. There's not a million billion chains out there in the United States. So if you pick like some big chains in the United States among, you know, like six major studios, you know, that's actually a pretty big ecosystem very
sure.
quickly, and you could probably verify the transactions on the side and actually test and try between those trading partners.
Sure, and to establish it's real.
Yeah, and it would be one of those that I don't feel like doesn't have the squishy problems that a lot of other problems we have in media entertainment have. Mm-hmm. So maybe going to the other side of the spectrum a little bit would be, I hear like rights exchanges get brought up a lot. And I just feel like that's going to be a much harder one because, for a variety of reasons, but there's the redefinition of rights that constantly is happening in an immutable block that's a little bit of a problem going back and even getting consensus on what the block means in and of itself. Like we were chatting at lunch a little bit, and you could like take the mic on this one, but we were talking about like trying to come to common definitions on things. So I think within the industry, like if there's not good common consensus and definition on it, it's probably not a particularly good candidate. Or I think like in cases of licensing deals, like how often is the case that you license to someone and then you know that they actually violated the license rights, but you're going to let it go because it's actually good for your business and it's good for their business.
Good for the relationship.
Turn a blind eye a little bit on that. And so if that's the case, it's like the industry is not quite ready for that workflow to work.
Cool thing to the theater example, you know, the cool thing about blockchain, let's say it's a public blockchain, you can use the public to help you verify. It doesn't have to be your company only, and that's pretty interesting, right? Because the consensus factor and the rule setting on your blockchain and in your network, that's up to you and up to your constituency. That's new, right? It's a new way to access your consumers if you do it properly. So I think that's pretty cool.
Which brings some problem of privacy. Because transparency may be interesting, but now at Sony Pictures, I'm not quite sure if I share the same blockchains and other studios, that the other studios know all my transactions. So that means I will have to obfuscate that. If I obfuscate that, somewhere I'm losing transparency. I make also the validation more complex. So you have also, it's nice to have transparency, but in some cases you don't have this transparency. Oh, by the way, on Bitcoin, it said that's transparency. Unless you don't know who is the owner. So you have a level of transparency which is limited, you know? Yes, you know that money is flowing, yeah. But is it real transparency? You know, you saw the floor, but you don't know who it ends up.
Between two bad guys, right?
Right.
I mean, does everyone know what Silk Road, I gave this last example last time, but Silk Road, everyone knows what that was or is?
Silk Road? Show of hands, Silk Road. Anybody know what that?
Okay, good. So for folks who don't know, it was the dark web. What dark website, people were selling bad things, drugs, other things, so fine. Most of the transactions were undertaken in Bitcoin. They were caught. And there were some law enforcement agencies, I won't name it this time, some agents got caught stealing Bitcoin from the Silk Road folks. They didn't realize that it was fully transparent.
Yes.
Oops.
Dope.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, to your point, privacy and watching the transaction flow, you have to be super careful.
But that's a great point also, right? With Bitcoin, you know, or sorry, with blockchain, sorry. Nothing falls off the truck, right, in reality. Right. I mean, are there applications in our business where this would actually be applicable? And I don't think anybody's going to.
Well, it could fall off the truck if it, so. The data is only as real as what's inputted into the system, right?
Okay.
So you could input bad data and force a consensus.
Okay.
On that
so you can
data.
Still bastardize it and make it nefarious.
Well, and I think that's why. I mean, getting back to the experimentation on it. I mean, there's you know, for me, there's a real interest. There's something to this approach. If we abstracted it out into this approach of a distributed ledger, that's kind of interesting. And then there's a whole bunch of problems you create when you do that,
yes,
right?
Yeah, totally.
But the likelihood is that we'll probably do some of this work on a distributed ledger at some point.
Sure.
I don't know if we know what it looks like, but I think it's kind of time to start working through it, you know, and maybe just kind of imagining things. You know, one of the things we were talking about, you have like the copyright up there, right? So you hear, for those of you that have been reading up on blockchain or looking at some of the examples, you can imagine it's like, oh, like ownership or the license of a thing to another thing, and I could record that, and the essence of the original thing is actually the thing, right? And we'll just use like an example of like art that you downloaded from Getty Images or something like that, and you have license to it. Sure. Okay, but the actual art is the thing, so you're not going to actually go stick that in the ledger, right? The ledger's going to get really big really quick, so then you have to reference point to it or use like C4 or something like that to say this is actually the original thing, but we change our things all the time, right?
Right.
So, you know. So if it looked like the original, is that the reference to that, and then do we need a big media locker of references to the representation of that in the chain? I don't know. So, I mean, you must have thought about this a little bit.
Oh, sure. I will not go there because then during 1 hour I will tell you what can go wrong and I can make that. But interesting things.
2 hours. Sorry, it'll take 2 hours for you to
Yes.
How long?
Yeah, and by the way, we could spend all day on this. I know we have about 12 minutes left, and I just want to give an opportunity for people to raise their hand and ask a question about it, even if it's the simplest question. Look, we're so early on this. This is like way, way, way ahead. But we want this to be educational and to make you do it. And also, if Steve Wong is out there, he might be out in the foyer. But if Steve was out there,
there he's right there.
By the way, let's get him a microphone, Matt or Jamie. Ultimately, to give you a chance to also chime in and see this panel with some questions. Because again, talent, studio, advertising, you know, this is part of it. Oh, here he comes. Steve Wong coming up. All right, what do you got? Oh, here he comes right there. But stay up here, you're all right.
Is it on?
Yep.
Hey, it's on.
So
amazing panel you brought together,
you know,
by the
come
way.
Come on, please. We're all good friends up here.
I tried to hijack Eric to do a white paper with me, but the guy's really busy.
Promise we will do that next time. Yeah.
So next time.
So Steve, you set this up. I mean, in terms of these buckets, where do you see it going? Where do you see the first piece of adoption? Some of our earlier questions.
I didn't have a time to get into depth, but I think Eric, you brought it up 100% correct. That it's not just one block; it's multiple blocks. It's B2B, it's B2C, and depending on where you're going with that, that's how you structure the blockchain. So, but yeah, I mean, you brought up an interesting point. It's the stuff that falls off the truck. I mean, I think we can relate to that to like people working on a show, right? So you've got a guy that's really breaking his ass, a PA that's on the show, and maybe worked 4 days, but he was great. I can't pay him or her, but I'm going to say they worked 5 days. That is all over this industry. So that's maybe the pushback and then this sort of thing. It's like, okay, I've got Slack in my system, but it's been Slack for 100 years and it works. I bring in a system, it will absolutely change that, so how do we handle it? So I mean, that's why, you know, I like the theory of let's go after the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
You know, what is not gray that we can handle with this? So.
Yeah, transparency is great until it happens to you, right? that's why I keep being told by my constituents, which makes sense in some ways.
I tend to think that also, and this is one of my crazy theories, and this is a Guy Finley theory, it doesn't represent Mason or any of its members, but I tend to think that we're in the information age, and we have been since, 1965, right? 70, whatever it ends
or
up being.
Or 1478 or 1492,
yeah, something like that. One of these presentations. DARPA invented it. But I believe that the next great age is the transparency age, right? And that we have to kind of get used to it because our age is not about transparency. We're the bridge between the really old school, like, the, you know, almost the Meyer Lansky, Don Corleone old school, right? And to what the reality is now enabled by computers, which does offer a certain level of transparency, but for certain things like that, that still totally exists. I tend to think that we'll evolve. It may take us 10, 20, 30, you know, how long does an age last, right? How long was the industrial age? You're talking about a 40, 50 year period, but it could, I was just talking about this with Amy from Netflix before she split, it could really be something that's cathartic and revolutionary for not just our industry, but also for all of humanity, because it basically puts it all out there and says, hey, we're not hiding things and we're okay with it. We deal with things like privacy and stuff like that, which I look at my children, I'm concerned more about their privacy, far more than they are. So I would say, as this fundamental piece or block in building the age of transparency, do you think that's an inevitable piece of this of blockchain? Do you think it's going to be the enabler for more clean, clearer, and understandable transactions?
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the history of time, I mean, usually when we sort this stuff out, I think if you take like the low-hanging fruit, it will force some conversations. You get anyone that's experienced things like this, whether it's like what SaaS did to application development, people all of a sudden that were asking for like every single font had to be a specific color. People are saying, no, that's okay, I'll pay less. And then product management, they kind of represent everybody and went out. And everyone kind of like standardized that and kind of went that way. So I think that you'll find problems like this where they'll say, well, yeah, the blockchain really can't easily kind of accommodate that. So let's us get all in alignment. It's because the transaction will be easier, and then that's probably the way it'll happen. So it'll probably force some healthy conversations. But
I'm sorry.
But I think it's not necessarily transparency, which is interesting, but it's honesty. Because somewhere inside the ledger, we will put something which, on long term, is immutable, and if you put the right crypto behind, non-repudiable. So although you may perhaps not make everything transparent, or only transparent if needed by audit, but in any case, you have a trace. What you have written at the beginning of the blockchain cannot be reasonably changed if the consensus is wide. And that's something very important. You will not be able to deny it. Not it was not that. Nobody will be able to change or forge a new wrong contract and so on if I'm able to put that already inside that. So it's not necessarily transparency, which will be also interesting, but it's the fact that it's this immutability. That will be intrinsically honesty. If you are then, okay, perhaps it's honesty and transparency, but not necessary. You will not be able to deny something. If it's written inside the blockchain, it's provided written. It has been properly validated, because we have some issue here, but on the forks, but that's very important. This honesty may be something very interesting. It's a proof.
For sure. I mean, maybe as a lob, as a softball to you, because we were on a different panel on this. But so in the ad space, I think that's one that this is the big soft. This is like a beach ball size softball. Here it comes. In the ad space, this is a huge, huge problem forever, right? I mean, being able to, you know, have agreement on the, you know, what was the actual validity and the spend and what was the performance on it. So how does that affect that? Because this very problem is huge.
Yeah, so we're working through that right now. And my comment about transparency, so where I sit and where I did sit, not anymore, but in the industry, it's interesting to see each transaction node, especially because we have different types of transactions. So we have middlemen, as everyone does. We have principals, and then we have programmatic, and then we have direct. So we have all these different types of transactions. They also pay for data. They also pay for every other thing under the sun, and they all have to be accounted for. So blockchain will help, And the current thinking is private blockchains for each company, and then you can pass through your ID systems and mask what you're up to on the revenue side, rev share side, and, you know, keeping things honest on each company layer. But having that sharing mechanism on a public blockchain, sharing into the private blockchain. So we're thinking about that. We're thinking about other things. What's interesting to me with this technology is it kind of follows the curve of, you mentioned honesty. Technology is making us honest, or at least it's starting conversations more in honest. A public forum,
yes.
Right? WikiLeaks, Twitter, blockchain. You know, things are happening now where consumers get to come in and have conversations with corporations and with public figures, including within public blockchains, right? Because they can come in and say, this is BS, and they can vote down a change if you allow it.
That's right.
So, you know, honesty can be enforced potentially in new ways, using consumers, using your peers, and it's a different construct, different conversation.
But, you know, maybe this honesty is a good thing. You know, as we have, I mean, honesty is always a good thing. I tell my wife that all the time.
Good thing.
Absolutely.
So we'd like to apply this to the next election,
yes.
Actually.
Yes.
So, I mean, I was
just
trying to
blockchain the news. That would be a good change.
I mean, just imagine, we have a new economy here. We have individuals that are used to exposing themselves. I mean, not exposing themselves. I mean,
whoa!
Oh,
too much transparency.
Too soon.
Wrong.
Too
much transparency.
But individuals live on Instagram. They are telling their stories on Twitter. The new generation is used to that. They're new creations.
Totally.
You know, when you look at a YouTube creator, they want to know that someone watched what they have. They have to rely on Google now. But the same thing for advertisers. You want to know that this individual watched this particular content. So maybe if I put together a contract as a content or a producer, I say, look, I want all these 10 folks in this little webisode I'm going to put together. I'm not going to pay you now. I'm going to pay you when someone watches it. Right now, that's a very difficult process. But if I'm open and as a creator, I'm fine because I'm telling everyone on Instagram that I'm on this show and I'm on Twitter and I'm talking about this. This may be a great thing for an advertiser to say, yeah, someone watched this. Awesome, someone watched this. Now my client, you should get paid for this because I got evidence right now that this occurred. So.
And someone watched this. So it's funny because in digital, the thing right now is viewability, right? So how long did they watch this thing? And everyone, you know, there's different varying degrees, and it's 1 second, 2 second, you know, half a second, what is it? And they'll pay for it, right? They'll pay for it on time. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And then comping talent, right? So actually comping talent, was this thing actually shown? And how do we comp the talent? So there's also applications there with AdID and the rest of it.
Yes. Very good application on that field.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. We have 2 minutes. No questions? Nobody? Nobody brave? Up?
There you go.
We did have a fun one, though.
All right, yes.
I want to end with. We'll do the question first.
Go ahead.
Where's the
great
person?
And by the way, we got a minute 42, and I'm on a tight schedule. I got to turn this room. Michael Lewis.
Bill Lewis,
sorry. Damn it.
The problem
Mr. Trying to remember every single name. Mr. Lewis.
The problem with blockchain is a big hammer, which people like to smash into possible uses. But when you want honesty, you're going to hash your contracts, and you're going to put a hash into a blockchain. So that's no different than if you have one person who's controlling a log and takes a hash of every document you touch and put it in that log. So let's say it's Fred, and Fred has this log, and when Mary gives a contract, we hash it, we put the number that represents that contract in the log that can't be cheated.
Yeah.
Wow, we've been doing that a long time. It's called accounting. Yeah. You just add a hash to it. So how is accounting or blockchain better than simply correctly accounting for your assets?
The difference is that the cost to forge...
A little easier to cook.
The difference is if you have put the right consensus mechanism, the cost to forge a transaction in the past and go back will be expensive and highly expensive. That's the promise of the blockchain. The older your block is, the more costly it will be for an attacker to modify this block because he will have to modify all the others. You could do that also inside an accounting. Sorry. But here, there is a cost which is associated, which is cryptographically expensive, and you will have to cost a lot. That means your return on investment will be difficult. So against a rational attacker, I speak about a rational attacker, it will be a good defense. If you're going against a non-rational attacker, that's another issue.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And actually, Eric and I had this conversation when we started talking about blockchain. It's like, why is this different than my Excel file, right? And I think it really depends on the application. You're 100% right. Some applications or processes do it on the Excel file. It's cheaper, right? So I think it depends on how you're using it.
Yeah,
we're out of time. So, Eric, last thing.
One thing that would apply to everybody if we walked out of here today, and it was a little bit more of your idea, but we've been talking a little bit about like talent records, whatnot, and it wasn't me, but someone else had come up with the idea about, you know, well, maybe the talent should actually have the ability to, you know, maintain their own record across all of media and entertainment, which is almost like taking the healthcare record to media and entertainment.
Sure.
But you can almost think of that as far as like metadata management and title management and whatnot. And that could really apply to everybody. So I think we've been talking about a lot in terms of these other things, but data management itself could actually be pretty interesting. That's pretty important on our.
Well, and especially considering the number of talent that may not necessarily be with a major studio or even under, you know, with a major agent. So, I mean, that's huge. We don't know those people. all right, we're out of time. Sorry. Thank you so much. I hope this was educational and informative and fun. A little bit of energy at the end of the day. So congratulations. Thank you to all of my panelists. I really appreciate it. Thank you. That was awesome. Thank you so much.